Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Let's do something right quick here. Let's ask all of our young people, if you're 25 years of age or younger, I want you to come stand up front. If you're 25 years of age and younger, now Brother Don Lowry, I see you looking around. That's not you. Amen. I just want to help you out, Brother Don. 25 years of age or younger, doesn't matter if you're married, single, black, white, tall, short, thin, not thin. You thought I was going to say fat. Oh, thin, not thin. Come on, stand up here at front. I want you to take a look at this. They're still coming. You might have to spread out some. That's all right. I want to get you all up front here. Boy, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right? You show me a church that can minister to young people, preach the Word of God to them, let them know Jesus loves them, let them know that they're sinners and that Jesus loves them still, willing to help them, willing to point them in the right direction, willing to give them opportunities to serve that same Jesus with, and I'll show you a church that's alive and well, amen.
Amen.
Alive and well, I said.
Amen.
Now, this is not all of our young folks. We got young folks throughout the building, amen. We got a whole room full of them upstairs from first to third grade. We've got some 4 and 5 year olds, and then we've got 3 nurseries full of them. I praise God for young people, don't you? Praise God for you young people. Now some of you are here today, and listen, though you might want to act all tough and say, well, I'm here today because I want to be. Well, your mama probably made you, amen. That's all right. I know you want to be tough. Well, I'm here because I want to be. But most are here because you do want to be here. And I think that's great.
Amen.
I think it's great. Some of you got up this morning, got yourself ready, maybe had a little breakfast, and made yourself available to get on a bus and ride here without any parental help, supervision, or anything. I want to say a very special God bless you to you.
Amen.
Amen. You have shown that God has something for young people too, whether parents get involved or not. Now you may be seated. I want you to know that this preacher right here is for you. I am for you. This congregation of people right here, we're for you. You're on our team and we're on your team. We thank God for you. So, well, preacher, there's our church for tomorrow. Oh, no. They're just as much a part of the church of today as you and I are. Now there may be the leaders right here of the church of tomorrow, but I thank God for you young people. I want you to know that. I thank God for you being here today. And it's just a wonderful thing to see you in the house of God. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your Bible. Every young person, those are a little older too, but every young person, I want you to open your Bible up to Philippians chapter number 2. I'm going to preach to you a little bit. Now I'm going to preach to everybody. But today, normally Pastor David would be preaching. It's Youth Sunday. We had a guest speaker. We thought that was going to work out, had some wires crossed, and that's all right. Things worked out. But as God would have it, I had already prepared this for another time, but as God would have it, we're going to preach it this morning in the absence of Dr. Comfort. And I want to speak to everybody here, but in particular to our young folks today. So I want you to listen. I know you always listen, but I want you to listen a little more carefully today. A little more carefully. You say, well, I'll tune you out, preacher. I'm 25 and above. No, you listen too, because you have a role in this. You have a role in this, all right? I look back there and I see my buddy Mike again. Good to see you, Mike. God bless you. Good to have Mike and Sarah. So good to see you, Mike. God bless you. And I love Mike and I praise God for him. And I'm thankful that he's back with us and in church. I prayed for him and it's just good to see you in church today, Mike. Mike and I go way back. And he's been my friend for years. And I praise God he's in the house of God today with his family. Amen. All right. I want you to notice something that takes place here. We've studied through the book of Philippians, and I want you to take note with me here of something. In chapter number 1, this name keeps coming up, Jesus Christ. All right, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the servant of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Verse number 2, the last 3 words, Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse number 6, the last 2 words, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse number 8, bowels of Jesus Christ at the latter part of that verse. Verse number 10, day of Christ. Verse number 11, right in the middle of that verse, by Jesus Christ. You could go on and on. Chapter 1, may I tell you, is about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, this book here is about how to have joy. You want to have some joy? Get Jesus in your life. Make Jesus a priority. Go beyond that and make Him preeminent. Make Him, listen, you put Jesus in His right place, and I will guarantee you, you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory in your heart. You say, well, that preacher, if I put him in his right place, well, that means I'll not have any trouble. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have any trouble, but it does mean this. When you have it, He'll be right there by your side. Amen? He'll never leave you. Listen, God does business with those who mean business. You want joy in your life? Put Jesus first, right? Then in chapter 2, not hard to see what the theme of chapter 2 is. By the way, chapter 1, it just keeps building and building until you get to verse number 21 of chapter 1. Look at it, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. Paul just finally said, hey, I just want to tell you, that's what life means to me. I just want you to know that life has really been narrowed down to one person, and that's Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, aren't there so many other things? Well, they are, but they're just things. Jesus. You want joy in your life? Put Jesus in His rightful place. Amen. Put Jesus in His rightful place. You say, where is that, preacher? On the throne of your heart. When Jesus is placed there, you will have joy in your life. All right? Number two. In chapter 2, he takes this word joy, and he begins with Jesus with the J in chapter 1, but then he gets to the O of joy. That's others. Here's what he said in verse number 4 of chapter 2. Look at it. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of, and there's our word, others. See, people who make their life about their self only, miserable. Been around a long time. Many of you have too. Been doing what I'm doing a long time. I deal with people all the time. And people that their lives are about themselves, miserable. No peace. No joy. None. But when we make our life about Christ, number one, and others, as chapter 2 verse 4 says, he said, you look on the things of others. You get concerned about helping other people. He said, you will be filled with joy. Filled with joy. All right? You say, where do I come in? Well, you're the Y in joy. Yourself. So it's Jesus, the J, all right? Then it's others, and then yourself. See, most people have that exactly backwards. It's their self first, others, and then Jesus. You get that right, and God will place joy in your life. And there's not a person alive that will not tell you, I want some joy. So young people, I want you to listen carefully. Because when we get to chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, I want to talk to you about people who have learned to live for others. And he starts with the greatest example. Right after he said in verse number 4, look at it now. And right after he says in verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, you get concerned how you can help other people. God will take care of you. You get concerned how you can help other people. Then he said, let me give you an illustration. Right after verse 4, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He said, Jesus lived for other people. All right? Jesus lived for other people. You need to follow that example. I need to follow that example. And so he gives us this example of Jesus Christ all the way through. Then, just in the event that there was someone who might have this thought, well, you know, that's Jesus. Jesus was perfect. I'm not perfect. Anybody here perfect? Okay, just check it. We're not perfect. Jesus is perfect. Someone might say, well, you know, that was Jesus, and he does all things well, and he did everything, you know, to please the Father, and I might fall short of making my life about other people. What can I do? What can I do? And Paul said, well, let me start with this. Let me start with a young man. Now listen to me, folks. Young people, listen to me. This is where you come in. Let me start with a young person, he said. He said, I want to tell you about a young person who got involved in God's service, and God put His hand on his life and used him in a mighty way. He said, I want to talk to you about this young man named Timothy. He said, you know, when I wrote Timothy over there in his epistle that I wrote him in 1 Timothy, he said, I wrote him and I told him, now, Timothy, you're a young man, but don't you let anyone despise your youth. Don't you let anyone tell you you can't serve God because you're young. And I'm going to tell you that today. Don't you let anyone tell you because you're young or because of your background or because of what you've been through or are going through. Don't you ever let anyone tell you you can't serve God with your life. God has a plan for your life. You read after leading psychologists today, and they'll say this. All of them are saying the same thing. Listen, I challenge you. Check it out. They're saying that our youth have no vision. Now, usually the reason that people have no vision is because they have no purpose. And that is exactly what's going on with our young generation today. They are being made to believe that they don't count. They are being made to believe that no one cares. They're not being challenged. They're not being prompted. They're not being, listen, they're not being made to believe that there's some things expected of them. Young people, I want to tell you something. God expects some things of you. I do too. I hope your parents do. I hope you expect some things of yourself. Don't you ever settle for second best. Amen. You be the very best you can be in your life for Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm going to tell you about this man Timothy. All right? He was a young man. He said, I took Timothy under my wing. I'm going to ask you to write some scripture down today as I give them to you. You can find the background of this young man, Timothy, in Acts chapter 16. All right? Paul was passing through on his missionary journey, and he meets some folks there. And when he meets them, he meets the mother and grandmother and even the father, who was an unbeliever. Now, Timothy's father was an unbeliever, not a Christian, all right? Wasn't in church. Perhaps some of your moms and dads are not in church. You say, well, I can't do it if they're not in church. You can serve God, even if mom and dad's not in church. And I wish mom and dad were in church, and we'll pray, and I believe that's the best scenario. It's ideal for mom, dad, and the kids to be in church together. Say amen right there. You ought to come to church as a family. However, it doesn't always work that way. And that doesn't mean that you can't serve God with your life just because mom or dad or mom and dad are not in church with you. You can serve God with your life. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you. And I want you to see that in this section of Scripture today. I want you to notice what Paul said about this young man, Timothy, in verse number 19. He said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus. That's Timothy. I'm going to send him to you. And he says about this young man, if you'll look down in verse number 22, the first thing I want you to know that Paul says about him, he said, but you know the proof of him that as a son, you see that word? I want you to highlight that word. We're going to use that word as a point to build on a little bit today. As a son. Paul said, he's like my son. Now, he wasn't Paul's physical son, but he said, he's like a son to me. I'm like a father to him. Now, parents, let me tell you something good to do with your sons and your daughters. Get them close to preachers that preach the word. Put them in the environment of Bible preaching. Get them under a ministry of a man of God. Get them in a youth group where a man will stand up and preach to them what thus saith the Lord. He said, oh, preacher, we're going to do it ourselves. Well, now don't take that attitude. You're going to mess up. You see, Paul passed through in Acts chapter 16, and when he passed through, he met Timothy's folks. And Timothy, listen, I believe that Timothy heard Paul, and Paul won him to the Lord. He said in verse number 22, look at it, he said, as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. You know, sometimes when you go to church and you leave, folks ask you, hey, how was the service today? And you tell them what went on. I could have just imagined there was a service there. Paul came through town and he preached. And then Paul, as he often did, he'd preach and he'd move on, you know. And so maybe some folks, when they came home that day, someone asked, well, how was the service today? It was all right. I mean, you know, had a good turnout. Man, that Paul, boy, I tell you, God really has done a work in his life. I mean, it's hard to imagine that he was running around killing Christians and now he's preaching. Man, that man's doing something for God. He's preaching the Christ. Oh, yeah, and by the way, some little fella came forward, you know, Eunice's boy, you know, Lois's grandson. He came forward today and said something about getting saved or something. I don't know. Huh? Yeah. And that's the way it happens a lot of times. Come on now. Right. Yeah, little Timmy. The Timmy came forward and he got saved. We'll see if it's gonna stick. I don't know. You know, right. Probably just got caught up in emotion and all. But I'm gonna tell you what happened. You read this now when you get home, all right? In Acts 16, Paul passed back through there. You know what people were doing? They were saying, "Hey, Paul, since you was back here last, remember that young man that came forward?" I'm paraphrasing, but you read it. Man, that guy is something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, God's all over him. Yeah. This guy's serious about serving God. Young people, you can get serious about serving God too. Yeah. You say, "Preacher, I tell you right now, when I grow up and I get older, I get me a car and I get married and I have children and I get a walking cane." Hey, listen, if you're not careful, you'll be near the grave before you make a decision that you can serve God. You can serve God right now, amen. Right now, if you want to. And so here was Paul come through, he preached, nobody took it serious. Timothy came forward, old Timmy came forward, and people just shrugged it off. But then when Paul came back through, people done changed their mind now. Look at it, they were telling Paul, "Hey, that Timothy, Eunice's boy, I'm gonna tell you, there's something different about him. Hey, when you get saved, there's something different about you too."
Amen.
Hey, can I ask you something, young folks? Look at the preacher right here. Something different about you since you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart? If there's not, you're not saved.
Right.
Now, I'm not being mean here. I'm trying to help you. See, everybody that God saves, he makes a difference in their life.
Yeah.
And so the time to start is when you're young. When you're young. So Paul comes back through and he takes Timothy, and you'll find where he takes him on his missionary journeys. You know what, Eunice? Now, Eunice and them didn't say, "Oh, well, no, Paul, what you're doing is dangerous, and you're going to turn Timothy into a fanatic. We can't let Timothy get in with the preacher and the youth group too much, because then all he'll talk about is church." Hey, you better thank God if that's all they're talking about.
Amen.
Amen. So you know what? Eunice, his mother, and Lois was involved in helping mold this young man's life. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So you have Paul, right? And Paul is wanting to invest in this young man's life. But now here's where the parents come in. This is where I come in, me and Sharon. This is where you come in. Dan, Karen, listen to me. You listening to me? Eddie, Mary? You listening? This is where parents come in. Every one of us. Hear me now. I want you to notice. Turn over to 1 Timothy just for a moment. In 1 Timothy... Now, here's Paul writing back to this young man who came forward in a service. It looked like it was nothing. You know, okay, a little fella came forward and said something about wanting to serve God or something. But now, all of a sudden, God's got his hand on his life. And God's molding this young man. And the parents say, "We want him with Paul. We want to put Timothy in a spiritual environment. We want Timothy to excel in his purpose for Christ." Now, parents, one of the greatest things you'll ever do is follow that example. Keep your children in church. Keep them under Bible preaching. Amen. Send them to Christian camps. Get them involved. You say, "Preacher, I'm afraid they'll miss that on life." What they going to miss out on? Smoking dope? Let's just be honest. What they going to miss out on? Bunch of filth. Huh? Is that right, brethren? Well, what are they going to miss out on? You say, "Well, I know some kids who grew up in church and they didn't turn out so good." I know far more that did than didn't. Amen. 1 Timothy, look here if you would. Here's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy. Look if you would in chapter number 4. Look at verse number 12. Now here's that Paul writing to that young man who said, "He's like my son." All right. He said, "I want you to know something, Timothy." He said, "You're young, but don't you let that stop you from serving God. And young folks, don't you let that stop you from serving God either." Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of young people have to look at the inconsistency of mom and dad and the inconsistency of some of us older ones and say, "Well, you know what? They don't seem too serious about it." There's some folks even right here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, God's blessed us with a good church, but we're not perfect. And there's some folks have lost their edge. There's some folks that have lost their edge. They've lost the fact that the young folks are watching you. They're watching you, and they're not liking what they're seeing. They're seeing inconsistencies. They're seeing people that's lost their vision. They've lost their burden. And they're saying, well, you know what? It doesn't matter to brother so-and-so anymore. And it doesn't matter to this family and that family. Maybe it shouldn't matter to me. You be careful how you live. These young people are watching you. You say, well, I don't care what happens to me, preacher. Well, you ought to care what happens to them. Amen. Say amen with me now. You say, preacher, you seem kind of mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at the devil. I don't want my life. You hear me? I don't want my life to be a discouragement to these young people. I want it to be an encouragement. Amen. And this is more than about me. Paul said, don't you live your life just for you. You consider others. You consider us. I'll quit church. And what's that going to do to the young generation? What's that going to do to your children? What's it going to do to the young people at Fellowship Baptist Church? Why don't we think about somebody besides ourselves sometimes? Amen. It's because we've lost sight that there's a young generation behind us that are looking to us for leadership until they can get to the place to become the leader. Paul said here in verse number 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Don't you let somebody tell you you can't do it because you're young. Oh, boy, you're too young. Get out of here. Oh, gal, you're too young. Go on maybe another day. No, you serve God right now, young person. Amen. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, not to the believers, but of the believers. One day you'll be an example to the believers. Now, that's what I'm talking about for me. I'm to be an example to the believers. And we that are a little older are to be an example to you. But right now, you be an example of one. You live for Jesus, whether mom or dad's living for Jesus or not. Amen. You serve God, whether the preacher serves God or not. You stick with God, no matter who falls back. Amen. Stick with Him. Amen. Stick with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everybody in here ought to be saying amen. Amen. Brethren, we've gotten in the time of our churches to where we've lost sight that there's a generation behind us watching us. And if we're not careful, we'll sit around and wring our hands. I don't know what's going to happen to this young generation. I'll tell you what could happen. If we would straighten up and live right and do right, they might get on fire for God and make a difference in this world. Amen? Amen? Amen. What if every young person was like you? What would be going on? Would they be in church? Would they be serving God? Would they be witnessing to people? Would they be praying for people? Or would they be living for their self? About half-hearted, doing it about halfway. Hey, I'm not being mean. I'm trying to jolt us and get us to see what I'm saying to you is fact, brethren. It's truth. Amen. And it's happening in our good churches, let alone those that are not so good. Right. We need God to help us. And I said we now. Now, he said, don't you let them despise you, Timothy, but be thou, look at verse number 12, be thou an example of the believers in a word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, look if you would in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy 2, here's what he said. He said, son, I want you to know something. Son, I want you to know something. There's some people that's going to take interest in your life. There's some people that's going to love you. Might be your preacher. Might be your Sunday school teacher. Might be your youth leader. Might be a deacon down at the church. Might be that gentleman that sits across from you down there at the church. They're going to take some interest in you and try to invest in your life. Let them do that. We're one generation away from paganism, brethren. You understand that, right? You know that crowd? Listen to me now. That crowd of young people that came up here, please don't miss this. If you don't get anything else, don't miss this. They are a vital link in what I call the gospel chain. Now listen. You say, preacher, I tell you right now, this generation, the Dr. Thompsons and the Dr. Comforts and the brother in Bowdoin's, brother Larry in Bowdoin's, these elder gentlemen that have been serving God, man, they made a difference. Thank God for you, men. Thank God for you. But we're one generation. If we don't link up with this next generation and pass on to them some things and get them interested in the things of God, our churches are going to shut down. These men are passing off the scene. I hope they stick around for many more years. But listen, it's going to happen. They know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We have got to link arms. See, somehow I got to grab hold of the Dr. Thompsons and the Brother in Bowdoin's and the Dr. Comforts of the world. My generation, you, many of you that are sitting here now, we've got to grab hold of these older gentlemen that God has blessed and God's been on their life. We've got to take hold of this young generation that's after us, and we've got to realize that we're a link. And they've linked it to us, and we've got to link it to them. It's taught right here. Look at it. It's taught in the Bible. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul said this. He said, Timothy, he said, be a good link. Young folks, here's what Timothy's got to say to you. Paul said it to Timothy, and Timothy's saying to you. Look at verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me. You listening today, young person? You hearing the things that's being said to you of me? God didn't just want you to come here to take up an hour or two of your day. God didn't just put me up here to carry on like I'm carrying on. This is serious business.
Amen. Amen.
Serious. And here's what he said. He said that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You're a part of the link. You get it, you share it. Is that what he said? You get it, you commit it. You're a part. You're a vital part in the link of this gospel chain. If we somehow don't get the attention of what's called in our generation the millennials, brethren, we're in trouble. If we do not reach this generation for Jesus Christ, we're in trouble. Brother Dan, I want to take this opportunity to thank you publicly. See, we got a man in our congregation who's concerned. You say, well, he's not the only one. Well, I know, but he's leading the ones that are. And I thank God for you. See, we got to teach these young people that voting matters. We got to teach this young people that praying matters. I ain't going to pray for no president I can't back. Shame on you. I've tried to follow the scripture no matter what. You say, preacher, did you ever pray for Obama? God knows my heart, I did. Well, he's not my president. If you're a citizen of the United States during those 8 years, he was your president. Amen. I'm mad at you, preacher. Well, that's all right. It won't be the first time somebody's been mad at me. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Listen to me. This folks run around saying, well, it's not about you. We've got to get concerned about him. What does the scripture teach? The Bible says that God has ordained the authority over us, and we need to pray and make supplication for them. Amen. I'm not going to vote for them. That's your God-given right. Go for it. Amen. But you don't have a choice on praying now. God said, do it. Right? Amen. Young folks, you're a son. You're a son. How do you become that? Turn over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Paul said, you're my son in the faith, as a son to a father. Look what he said here. Chapter number 3, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's what Paul said. He said, you know, I want to commend you, parents, your mother and your grandmother, that when you were just a child, in verse number 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't it something when parents will understand that their children are a part of that link and teach them the Word of God? It's important. 2 Timothy 3:15, you see it? It's there. 2 Timothy 3:15, he said, I want you that as a child. Look at verse 14. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Young folks, that's what your pastor and your parents and this church fellowship, that's what we want for you. We want you to continue in these things. So often in church, young folks come to church and they come to Sunday school, you graduate from high school and you never see them again. I'm glad Fellowship Baptist Church is not that way. And I'm not being a Pharisee and a hypocrite. I'm just stating the facts. I don't know how many was in Pastor Brandon's class this morning. How many? 12? That's folks after high school and before marriage. I can't tell you how many married couples we had, young married couples in my Sunday school class this morning. You know why? Because we're teaching our young people that you don't go to church just when you're a child. Church is a lifelong commitment. You're a vital link in the chain, young folks. A son. A son. One last thing, and then we'll turn back to Philippians and bring this to a close. I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, This is an important thing here. I want everyone, I'm going to give you time to find this. Parents, please don't miss this. Now, I don't say this with any animosity in my heart. I don't say it with anger in my heart. I say it with love in my heart. Parents, it's time to quit this going through the motions, playing church, and get real with God. This thing of serving God and raising and training your children up for Jesus Christ is one of the most important duties you'll ever have. God has entrusted some young people into your watch care and made you and made me a parent and a grandparent, because there's a grandparent. You know, we live in a day when many grandparents, I'd say probably everybody in here knows, somebody, raise your hand. I know somebody, I know a grandparent who's raising their grandchild. Raise your hand. Look at this. Raise it high. Don't you look around you, brethren. Look around you. It's becoming prevalent in our day. I'm not diminishing that. I'm just showing and saying it's happening. All right? Notice what Paul said here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Here's the key. Now, Paul made a big difference in young Timothy's life as a son. All right? He said, you're like a son to me and I a father. But he said, I want to tell you where it really, really matters. This is where it got started. Look at 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See that word unfeigned? It means without hypocrisy. It means genuine, the real deal. Amen? Oh, Eunice and Lois, they had the real stuff. And Timothy seen that God was real in his mother and grandmother's life. And if you'll read in Acts chapter 16, you'll find out where Timothy's mother was Jewish and his dad was Gentile, and his dad was not a believer. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved. The Bible doesn't say. So, I guess I could go off on a whole other direction, but I won't, because I want to close. You're going to have some plus and minuses, right? Praise God, mom's saved. That's a plus. But dad's not. That's a minus. Right? Can I tell you, life is filled with plus and minuses. Don't get too caught up in either. Find you a good balance and serve God with your life. You get so caught up in the pluses, you'll forget how to minister to those with minuses in their life. You might think you're better than you are. You get caught up in the minuses, and you'll just have the woe is me attitude, and you won't be good for much to anybody. Find you a good balance and serve the Lord with your life. All right, a son. Now, I've got 3 points, and I'm only going to give you 2 because I'm going to close. All right? Turn back to Philippians, and we'll bring this to a close. Philippians chapter 2. So a son, did you write that word down? A son. It's found there in verse number 22. But you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he said, I've taken him into the family business. I like that. That's what he's saying. I got old Timothy in the apprenticeship, the mentorship program. I'm carrying him on the missionary journeys, amen, like a father working with the son in the shop. I got him out witnessing for Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. That's good. God, give me that desire. Give me that vision, that wherewithal to invest in these young men and young ladies' life like a father to a son and daughter. And God give it to you as well. No telling what God could do with this congregation of believers into the future if we take this mindset right here. Parents, get your children signed up, working with some of the ministries of the church and under the leadership, apprenticeship, and mentorship, and let them go to work for God. Son, now I'm going to give you another word, and this will be the one that I'll highlight a little bit, and we'll be through. Okay, I'll give you the third one, just give you the name, and I'll move on. All right, number 2. See that word son? Did you highlight it? Look at this one. Look if you would. In verse number 22, but you know the proof of him that as a son with the father, he hath, see that word right there? Served with me in the gospel. He wasn't only a son, he was a servant. See, there's a big difference. You can be saved and not a servant of Jesus Christ. You can be a son of God and not be a servant of God.
Amen.
And so he said, not only was he just a son, but he had a servant's heart. Let me give you a few things here as we bring this and bring it down. Look at this, if you would. I find it very interesting. Paul said that there's some things about young Timothy that is outstanding. He said, first of all, in verse number 20, he said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He said, there's something about Timothy. He's like-minded. You know what that word means? It means equal-souled. The soul of man, he said, it's like our heart beats the same rhythm. That's what he's saying. Notice the word he used there. See that word, "I have no man like-minded who will," in verse number 20, "naturally." I like that. He said it just flows from him. Since old Timothy got saved, he just wants to be involved in the kingdom of God. How about it, young person? How about you? You saved? So I'm a son of God. That's great. I mean that. That's great. Now what about this one? Are you concerned about serving God? Are you concerned about what God has for your life? Now many of you are very young, but you're never too young to start getting interested in what God's purpose for your life is. Never too young for that. You ought to be praying about that. Asking God, what do you want me to be in life? What do you want me to be in life? As we shall see here in just a moment, if you'll have the attitude of Timothy, your story's going to have a happy ending. All right? So it said here in verse number 20, he said, here's a man that was concerned. He said, "Well, preacher, I thought everybody was concerned." Well, let's see. All right? Look, if you would, at verse number 21. This is an indictment. He said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Yikes. Paul said, you know, it seems like in the world we live in today, everybody's just out for their self. Now look at it one more time with me now. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." What are you seeking? What's your plan? What you want to do? What you want to be? Where you want to be? Paul said, that is the natural mindset of a human being. But when you get saved and you become a son of God, you should be seeking the will of God for your life. In other words, Paul asked this, are you living in 121 or 221? Look at it. 121. "For to me to live is Christ." 221. "I'm seeking my own." Where are you living? Where are you living today? Young, middle-aged, elderly, where are you living? What's life to you? You say, "I don't know, preacher." Well, I can ask you. I can help you answer that question by asking you this one. How often do you ask God what His will is for that day, for that moment, for that situation? Are you really concerned with God's will, or do you just say, "Well, you know what? It seems right to do this. I'm just going to do this." You're not in 121. You're in 221. Could I encourage you, if you're in 221 today, you say, 221, yeah, chapter 2, verse 21, look at it. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Could I encourage you to get out of 221 and get into 121? "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Preacher, I want my life to count for Christ. I want my life to count for Jesus. I don't want this to be about me at the end of the day. I don't see how much I can gather and how popular I can get and how much I can attain and me. Listen, we know who started that. Way back, Lucifer. So please be careful about that, okay? You're in 121 or 221. I can't answer that for you. I have to evaluate my own life and answer that. I pray that God would just burn it in your heart. You lay in bed at night thinking 121 or 2:21? When you get up in the morning, start your day. Is it going to be a 1:21 day or a 2:21 day? You going to live for Jesus or you going to live for yourself? Right? Right? Well, there's much more I could say. Verse number 22 also says, you know the proof of him. Old Timothy showed himself faithful, hadn't he? You know what that word proof means? Cooperation. Timothy didn't rebel. He went with Paul. Mama, Eunice, Grandma, Lois, Timothy? Paul's here. He says he's going to take you on a journey. I don't want to go. Okay, Timothy, whatever you want, fella. That's kind of where we live, right? Where children get what they want. I thank God for a mother and a grandmother who didn't give me what I wanted. They gave me what I needed. And we would all be wise and well to give our children what they need versus what they want. Well, we said he was a son. You a son of God today? You say, number two, he was a servant. You serving the Lord? Go home and ask yourself, even maybe as we give invitation here in a moment, you may want to ask yourself, am I in 1:21 or 2:21? Really? Not for the preacher, not for the person next to you, but for your own good. Because if you're saved, you'll never have joy in your life until you're serving God. But if you're saved and serving God and in His will, you'll have a joy no matter what's going on in your life. God will just fill your heart with a joy that will remain. I said I'd give you this word. I'm going to give it to you. He was a substitute. Paul said in verse number 23, him therefore I hope to send presently so soon as I shall see how it shall go with me. He said, I'm going to send him instead of me. What's Paul saying? He said, I can count on this young man. You know, some of the finest Christian folks sitting in this congregation today are not only the white hair or no hair. Forgive me, Dr. Thompson. Some of the finest Christian people in our congregation, they are not just the white hair, wise people. Thank God for them. But we've got some good young people in this church. We have some young people who really love the Lord. Now, they're maturing and they're growing. They may not be a Dr. Thompson, a Larry and Bowden. They may not be some of these, you know, Dan Wards and some of these that's got some age on them. Brother Cliff Stanley. I don't know why I thought of you, Brother Cliff. But, but they're young yet. They're learning. Let's give them something to attain to. Amen? Hey, this is serious. I thank God for the good examples that these young people have, but we need more. Could I ask you to search your heart and ask, are you the right example? Now, as we stand to our feet and close our service today, there may be a young person sitting out there who say, my goodness, preacher, what are you expecting out of us? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. See, you're looking at a person who will tell you, I will challenge you. I will tell you what I expect of you. I expect you to serve God with your life, obey your parents, pray for people, be kind to people, read the Bible, serve Jesus with your life. Do God's will for your life. You know what, Timothy? Listen to me. What's God expect out of me, preacher? Number one, to go anywhere He tells you to go. You study the life of Timothy. Paul said, Timothy, I need you to go to Corinth. He went to Corinth. Timothy, I need you to go to Thessalonica. He went to Thessalonica. Timothy, I need you to go to Philippi. Paul said, I'm going to send him instead of me. I'm going. What about you? What about when the call of God comes to you? Hey, we need somebody to step up and be an usher. We need somebody to step up and sing in the choir, the youth choir. We need somebody to step up and help us in the orchestra. We need someone to step up and help us on the cleanup crew. What about it, young folks? I'm willing to go where God sends me. Can you say that? I hope you can. If you're willing to go where God sends you, you're going to have to be willing to what? Serve anybody. In other words, go anywhere. Serve anyone. Sacrifice anything. Are you willing? That's what God expects of us. Go anywhere. Serve anybody. Sacrifice anything. What about it? Let's bow our heads. Here is a man who challenged a young fella, and he responded and said, "I will, preacher. I will. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll sacrifice. I'll go anywhere. I'll serve anybody. I don't care if you're rich or poor, black or white, male or female. I don't care. Republican or Democrat, I'll serve anyone. And I'll sacrifice anything." Now that is a servant's heart. As the pianist begins to play, I wonder if anyone, whether it be our elderly, whether it be our middle age, but in particular our young people, would say, "God spoke to my heart, and I want to come and lay it down here on the altar today, preacher. I want to lay it right here on the altar and let God have all of me. I want God to have all of me." You say, "Preacher, he's got most of me." That's not enough. That's not enough. God wants all of you. What in your life can't you trust God with? Can't you trust God with all of it? Sure you can. The question is not can you, the question is will you? Will you trust God with everything?